That song, Hearts A-Bustin', was written by our next guest, Billy Joe Shaver. Shaver records and performs his own songs, but they're best known when interpreted by others. His songs have been recorded by such artists as Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, Bob Dylan, and Elvis Presley. In the 1970s, Shaver's songs were an important part of country music's outlaw movement, which broke out of the slick Nashville style. He wrote all but one of the songs on the landmark Waylon Jennings album, Honky Tonk Heroes. In the 1990s, Shaver broke into acting with a small part in Robert Duvall's film, The Apostle. And Duvall and his wife recently made a documentary about Gilmore called The Portrait of Billy Joe. Shaver's latest album is called The Real Deal. His recent songs have dealt with the many tragedies that have struck his life. He lost his wife and his mother less than a month apart in 1999. The following year, his son, the guitarist Eddie Shaver, died of a drug overdose on New Year's Eve. Billy Joe Shaver spoke with Terry Gross in 2005. She asked him about coping with all those personal tragedies.
Your wife died in 1999 and your son at the end of the following year. What was the next year like for you, having lost both of them and your mother as well?
Well, it was very lonesome, but I had my dogs that she left me. She left me two pit bulls, and one of them was older, and the one that's with me now, she finally passed away. But if I hadn't had them dogs, I don't know what I'd have done, because they kept me going, because I had to feed them and get up and go. And Willie Nelson, I got to give him credit. He's the one that talked me back out into the world. He said, "Come on, Billy," he said, "you're supposed to play tonight. It's New Year's night." He threw together a band, because my band just, I don't know if some of them were over there with him or not. I'm not real sure. But they might have been, because they scattered like you couldn't find them, and they left. And so I didn't have a band, but I went on. Willie said, "I'll throw something together." And Willie sat up there and played all night long, and I'd go up and sing every once in a while. I owe Willie a lot. He's been such a good friend, and he took me down to his house, and we spent the night there and hadn't talked in quite a long time. I've been knowing him since 55, so I've been knowing Willie a long time. And he told me a lot of things, because he knew a lot. He's a wise man, and he gave me some money. And you know, it's hard to be broke when you're in a situation like that. And then he paid for my son's burial, and I didn't have any money at the time. I later got some money from Sony, and I was trying to pay him back, and he wouldn't take it. So I just don't know.
When you say this was New Year's Eve, was it actually the night that your son died, or a year after that?
Yeah, he died. He died that night, New Year's Eve. He died on New Year's Eve.
And so that night you performed with Willie Nelson, he convinced you to perform?
Yeah. He said, "Get back on the horse." And I'm a cowboy, so I did. And then I just went on and worked from then on. I just kept on doing work. And we had lots and lots of work, so I just kept on working.
Billy Joe Shaver, speaking with Terry Gross last year. We'll hear more of their conversation in a moment. This is Fresh Air. Let's return to Terry's interview with songwriter and singer Billy Joe Shaver. His memoir about his life and music is called Honky Tonk Hero.
You actually had a heart attack on stage in August of 2001. And then you had quadruple bypass. I was thinking about what it must be like to have a heart attack on stage and in front of an audience. How bizarre and kind of creepy. Do you have memories of that?
Well, yeah, it was like an elephant on my chest. But I was at the Green Hall, and you know, I really wanted to die. I don't know. A lot of people say, "Nah, you don't really," but you do. When things like that happen to you. And I was so thankful. I said, "God, thank you so much for letting me die in the oldest honky-tonk in Texas." But I had these doggone nitro, because I couldn't hardly sing without it. I had chunked these nitros. And I was able to sing. I just kept singing. And Jesse Taylor, when he was young, he was in a car accident, and he lost hearing in one of his ears. And it happened to be the ear that was next to me. And I kept telling him, "Just one more." And he thought I meant, you know, I said, "This is the last one." And he thought I meant one more. And he just kept playing. And the audience was so around us, they were just like, it was like hot there, because they don't have any air conditioning. Hardwood floors, they just open these flaps, you know, and it's still like it always was. But just kept on playing. And meanwhile, I'm just dying, and I'm taking this nitro. And then afterwards, I had to sign all these things, and I'm still trying to die, you know. I'm wanting to die, actually. Doggone, I didn't die. I was real upset about that because that was the oldest honky-tonk in Texas, and I thought it would be great to die there. And then the next night, I had to go to Pflugerville, of all places. You can't hardly even pronounce it, much less spell it, and at Hanover's, and I play there, and I'd got me another motel room. I laid down, and I still going through this thing, you know. And it'd come in waves then. It kind of gave me a little relief every once in a while. And then I decided, well, I'll go play this, and I'll die here. It's awful to die in Pflugerville, but I will. And the lady that runs my business, T-shirts and stuff, Diane Chang, she came by. She said, Billy, you're going to the hospital. And I said, no, I ain't. And she finally talked me into it. And we drove all the way back to Waco, and they took me in there and checked me out. Sure enough, I had 10% blood flow and blowed all my arteries out. But I was supposed to go on this tour with Kinky over to Australia. And it was a 3-week tour. And I called him. I said, Kink, I gotta have this bypass. I said, a heart attack. And he said, hey, people have heart attacks every day. He said, you're going to ruin my career. And I said, what? He said, yeah, you got to go with me. And so he talked me into going to Australia. 3 weeks of teetotal hell. I just wanted to kill him. And finally I got back, and the doctors were mad. Oh.
So you ended up having bypass and...
Yes, I did, after I come back from an Australian trip.
Are you glad that you survived? Sounded like you almost wanted to die.
I did. I kept wanting to die. I kept wanting to die, you know, because it just didn't look like as much for me. But then I realized there's lots and lots of people cared about me. And cared about what I was doing. They started listening to the songs a little more now. You know, death seemed like they bring that around or something. And so late in life for this fame to happen to me, and that's why I wrote that song.
Well, you mentioned your song Fame. You brought your guitar with you, and I'd like to ask you to play that song. Would you tell us when you wrote it and why you wrote it?
I don't know why. It just came to me right before we were to go in and do the overdubs of Eddie's album, and me and him, Billy and the Kid, and Tony Colton wasn't even there, just the engineer and I, and that song just came up in my head, and I just, it wasn't much of a song, it was just a piece of one, but actually it is, I guess, and I just went out there and put it down, just right off the top of my head and did it.
Is fame something that you'd always wanted?
You know, I'd seen my friends have it and what it did to them. I know that not what it did to them, what it did to the people around them. They never changed. Actually, the people changed. Everybody changed about the way they approached them, you know. They'd get goofy and out of the tree and sideways, scared to go up there. Oh, you're a busy man, all that stuff. And you can see that happening. But the performers never change. They stay the same. That's why they're great. And I guess in some small way, I touched on that somewhat.
Would you sing Fame for us?
Yes. Fame, you bright elusive fame, somehow you found your way into my life today. Desire, that all-consuming fire is racing through my veins like lightning through a wire. I never changed. I still remain the same. My few and precious friends still love me anyway. I look up in the stars and wonder where you are.
owe it all to you. Your prayers have all come true. All fame. Still love you, Brenda. Love you too, Eddie. God bless y'all. See you soon.
Joe Shaver performing his song Fame. It's really a very moving song. Do you feel like your songwriting has changed in the past few years after all the losses you've experienced and the health crisis of your own? Has that had an impact on your songwriting?
I haven't noticed it if it has. I just hurt so hard to do quality work. And that's what I've stayed with, and I believe that's why Cream finally comes to the top. I'd just be beyond me to be humble. I'd have to be acting humble if I were to be humble. I'm humble in a way, but I'm thankful more than anything that somebody finally started listening.
I guess it's in your memoir that you wrote that Johnny Cash, who was a long time friend of yours, mm-hmm. said that when he was in rehab, he used to, every morning, he'd sing to himself your song, Old Chunk of Coal, which is a song about somebody who feels like an old chunk of coal but hopes to become mm-hmm. a diamond one day. Mm-hmm. And I thought, there is no higher compliment a songwriter can have than that a song meant so much that, like, Johnny Cash would have sung it to himself to give himself strength every morning.
I hung up when I started crying. You know, I'll still cry from time to time. Not in front of anybody, but I started crying. It just was the greatest compliment, and I just still love him so much. And that's the main reason I wanted him on that album with me, just close the show there. This new album I've got is called The Real Deal. It's on Compadre Records.
Billy Joe Shaver, speaking with Terry Gross in 2005. Let's hear Johnny Cash's recording of Shaver's Chunk of Coal, which was included in Cash's posthumously released box set, Unearthed.
I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm so blue, pure, perfect. I'm gonna put a smile on everybody's face. But I'm gonna kneel and pray every day, lest I should become vain along the way. I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna learn the right way to talk. I'm gonna search and find a better way to walk. I'm gonna spit and polish my old rough edge itself until I get rid of every single flaw. I'm gonna be the world's best friend. I'm gonna go round shaking everybody's hand. I'm gonna be the cotton-picking rage of the age. Yes, I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I said, I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
That was Johnny Cash singing Chunk of Coal, one of many songs written by our guest, Billy Joe Shaver. We'll hear more of his interview with Terry Gross after this break. This is Fresh Air. Let's return to Terry's interview with songwriter and singer, Billy Joe Shaver.
You say in your memoir that you read the Bible every day.
Yeah, I do. Try to. Down here lately, I haven't actually. I missed it a day or two.
So do you think your songs have been influenced by reading the Bible?
Oh, yeah, Sure.
How?
Yeah. Jesus Christ is, he's the one who made us all number two. And I always say, if you don't love Jesus, go to hell. But may the God of your choice bless you also.
It's very charitable.
Yeah, I'm a giving man.
Billy Joe Shaver, would you like to play a song for us to close?
Yes, I would. I'd like to do Try and Try Again. Saved my life. I went up on the mountain and I looked down on my life. I had squandered all my money, lost my son and wife. And my heart was filled with sorrow and I almost took my life. But I found the strength inside me to give life one more try. And if at first you don't succeed, just try and try again. And if at first you don't succeed, well, try and try again. And if all you would do is lose, you'd better find a way to win. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. Well, I know someday the world will learn to sing a better song. The lame will walk, the mute will talk, we all will sing along. The fighting will be ended and all hunger will be gone. It's everybody's business till we get the good work done. And if at first you don't succeed, just try and try again. And if at first you don't succeed, well, try and try again. And if all you do is lose, you better find a way to win. If at first you don't succeed, well, try and try again. And if at first you don't succeed, just try and try and try again. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. And if all you do is lose, you'd better find a way to win. If at first you don't succeed, well, try and try again. I know someday, I say I know someday, the deaf man's gonna hear the blind man's song. And someday the whole world gonna grow new eyes to see and new ears to hear. We're all gonna sing along. And our point of view is gonna grow into a pure and perfect one. And the voice of truth inside us all gonna help us sing that song. If at first you don't succeed, brother, sister, try and try and try again. Amen and amen. You got to keep trying, folks. Just keep trying. Sometimes, if you just keep trying, you can get it done. But you got to keep trying. Try and try again. Amen and amen.
Billy Joe Shaver, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Billy Joe Shaver, speaking and singing with Terry Gross in 2005. Shaver's latest album is called The Real Deal.